All right, we're teaching on the topic, training for reigning. I'm going to start reading at verse 16 of chapter 1 of Ephesians. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you know, over in Hebrews chapter 1, it says that Jesus is going to be sitting there. He says, God says, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Well, where are the feet? In the head or the body? Who are you? So, the enemies are going to be under our feet. Am I right about it? It's going down and read chapter 2, but start pick up there in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together where? In heavenly places. Come on. In Christ Jesus. Yeah, people talking about, yeah, I'm trying to make heaven my home. It's already your home. You're already seated there, working in heaven and in earth. And I'm telling you right now that all that's a revelation. And this is what Paul wants the church to understand. He said, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. The translation says, be flooded with light. Now, we're going to talk about that light here in just a minute. First of all, let's kind of do a little bit of review. That we talked about the fact that you and I have inherited something. And that which we have inherited, God has put in his will, the last will and testament of who we are, what we have, what we can do. And we're rediscovering that, because what Jesus is talking about really is back to Eden. And this whole idea says that we can go back, we can operate similar to the way the first Adam operated. And Jesus came as the sample son. He came, the Bible calls him, Paul by revelation, calls him the last Adam, because he was giving us an indication or a revelation of how Adam really was, how he really operated. And so what we talked about is that Adam was, again, the Bible says in Luke, a son of God. And it also talks about that Adam was made or created, or he came out of God. He wasn't spoken. That he was had come out of God, and that he had the same thing in him that God had in him. And in this, I used a picture, for example, of water. And if I pour that water in a glass, the same consistency that's in that water usually is in that glass. And that we have the same things in us as our Father has in him through Christ. Are you following what I'm saying? See, we were born by the seed of the Word of God. Well, the Bible says the seed is God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was what? With God. And the Word what? Was God. Well, over in Peter it says, and the sea, or over in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, it says, and the seed is the Word of God. So if the seed is the Word of God and every seed produces after its kind, then God is producing God. So what we did is we went in and did a little Hebrew on that, and we went back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, 26, he said, and God said, let us make man after our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So he gave mankind dominion over all his creation. Now you have to go and look and see what his creation is, because everything that is was his creation. And then he went, and in verse 28, he said, and God blessed them. And God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. And again, he talked about rulership. So God planned for mankind to rule this earth. And I showed you, I told you that I was teaching at a pastor's session one time, and one of the pastors who had one of these Bibles and different translations in his one of those PDMs and showing he can go in there and get some things. He said, Pastor, look what it says here in terms of God bless them. And what it says, it's Elohim Barak Elohim, meaning God bless God. So I said, wow, that's something. Well, that's consistent. Because once in chapter 2, it says, and God breathed into the nostrils of man, he became a living soul. And another Hebrew Hamash translation, they tell me, says, man became a speaking spirit like God. Now, what am I doing? I'm not trying to pull God down to anybody's level. I'm trying to pull us up. I'm trying to let you know that when you got born again, the Bible says over in chapter 10 of Ephesians chapter 1, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. And that word created there in the Amplified says recreated. See? So here, any man that is in Christ is what? A new creature. So you're something you never were before. Now, don't look at the outside, because that's just your shell. That's your body. That's your earth suit. How many of you know when you go in space, you got to have a space suit? When you work here on earth, you got to have an earth suit. How many of you know people without an earth suit don't stay around here very long? Praise God. Okay. All right, now, as we look at this, what we said is we have potential. We talked about Adam, naming Adam, so forth, because he had the 100% of extent of his mind being used, and he had the mind of God. And so once Adam sinned, he fell from that place where he had, and now God made a covenant through Abraham, through Noah, through Abraham, and now that's covenant, Jesus came, and he was a seed that God was talking about, and that seed, which is Christ. And now Christ came, and that through Jesus Christ, we will begin to rediscover who we really are. So Jesus came to bring a shift in power, because Satan had power in this earth, and now here's come Jesus, and he's coming to bring a shift in power. Now, we talked about he tempted Jesus. Let's go to that real quick. Matthew chapter 4, please. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus had fasted 40 days, and here's the devil tempting him with the things of this world. Now, I can go somewhere with that, but I'm not going to go there today, because if I do that today, I don't want to lose anybody here. I want to do this thing line upon line. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 4, please. I'm training for reigning. Say training for reigning. What it says in verse 8, again the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the what? Kingdoms of the world and what? And the glory of them. And the glory of them. So he showed him basically all the mountains, all the spheres of influence that the devil had taken control of. Education, media, government, so forth, all the place that he had people controlling these places, and the devil himself with a puppet master, and these people being used, of course, without their knowledge of it. They think, because of pride, they think they're running it. But here they are under the influence of the evil one, and the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, that all were deceived. And also it says over in Psalm chapter 82, he says that God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the devil. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. So everybody is walking in darkness. So as a result of that walking in darkness, they don't know that they're being used. So they're being used. I'm just saying this because this helps you, keeps you from getting mad at folks. You know, the Bible says we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers, see? Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Weapons of our warfare are what? Not carnal, but mighty through God, to pulling down strong. My point to you is stop getting mad at people. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying we know there's a principality behind it. But God has placed us in a place where all the principality and power and everything that he can muster is under our feet. I'm telling you, it's already under there. We've just got to make it a reality at this point. Now, here he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, all the wealth that Satan had amassed over the few thousands of years, all that he had amassed, he showed it to Jesus and said, hey, I'm going to give you all this and the spheres of influence if you bow down and worship me. What did Jesus do? He said, all these things I'll give you if worship me. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. And so that was into the temptation. But this, many times people don't realize it, and I'll just throw this in here, no charge. The finances is an end time message. Sure, it's an end time message. Money is what the devil, that's the devil's anointing. But you and I have true riches. We have an anointing that can take control of money. Power to get wealth. You follow what I'm saying? Okay, well, let me keep going here. So we talked about potential. Now, what is potential? We said potential, we said, is basically hidden abilities. Or we said it's built in something that you're capable of being or becoming that's already built in you. It's hidden. Now, how it's determined? It's determined by the one who made you. In other words, if somebody made a hot rod, they know what's in there. Sometimes I watch the hot rod, you know, program, the channel, whatever that is. They watch it. Because sometimes, you know, car, you know. And I remember when we were young, you know, having little drag races and so forth. It was illegal, but we had a big strip out there. And I was brought up in Tuskegee, Alabama, and they had the old air base, and they had a lot of them, so forth. And so we'd go out there, you know. But every now and then, here comes somebody that we didn't know, maybe. But he'd come along, and he had an older car. But that thing, you know, under the hood is speaking in tongues. And I said, man. So... we'd race and he'd win, you know what I'm saying. But I'm saying that what he'd do is put his foot on the accelerator, and that the demand is a thing that pulls potential out of you or releases potential. That you've got to put a demand on that thing. You've got to make it so you're just not sitting there watching for potential to jump out. But it doesn't happen like that. Unless you put a demand on it, you'll die with it. And so what happens is a lot of times people limit themselves. They operate real close to the shoreline, never get out into the deep, never stretch out into projects that beyond their own little comfort zone, and never do that, and never really manifest or maximize the potential that God has in them. They play it safe all the time. And, you know, I mean, even like Joseph, you know, Joseph was transported down to Egypt. And even down there in chapter 45 of Genesis, Joseph even said, hey, what you meant for good, for bad, God used for the good. He said, you don't know, God sent me down ahead of you to preserve your life. So it's kind of interesting that Joseph had to be transferred or transported into an environment, maybe it was a hostile environment, but through that environment, the machinery kicked in that would move Joseph to the most powerful economy in the world. And he had to go to a hostile environment to get it. And I'm saying that the church is designed to go into the world. And a lot of times we stay around four walls just trying to be comfortable up in here. This is fine. But you are training for reigning. This is your training station in here. Once we give you this, now you're supposed to do something with it. Say amen to that. We sing about faith, pray about faith, talk about faith, teach about faith. Well, where is your faith? When are we going to act on what we're talking about? Are you following what I'm saying? I don't want to get into that. Praise God. Makes me want to preach. So we said church, ecclesia, having to do with this more than religion, is having to do with called out ones, which is a kind of a political governing body. And they referred to that. The disciples knew what he meant when he said, upon this rock I build my church. They understood exactly what he meant. Today, if you say church, people think of four walls. Church, you can have church in a bar room. Are you with me? Just cover up the Jack Daniels and go at it. Say amen to that. So my point to you is we're shifting a paradigm here a little bit, because people are trying to get to address in Chicago with a Detroit map. And so we're going to change the paradigm so that you can get there and embrace who you really are. Say amen to that. All right. So now we are saying that there are truths in the Bible that are part of our real planned existence. Now, I got that from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and we read it in the Amplified. Don't go back there, please. We read it in the Amplified, and we read in the Amplified where it says that we are recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we might do those good works which God has predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So there's a good life that God has planned for you. Now, once you come into the kingdom message has to be preached so that people won't just get saved and come to the door, but we can come on in and take part in the kitchen and go into the bedroom and use the bathroom, come on, and use the study and so forth. But we can find our way around the kingdom of God. So now as we are doing this, we are saying that we have to be aware that many times the scriptures don't agree with our feelings, or sometimes the scriptures are different from what traditionally has been taught to people in churches. And what I said is this. I said that your inheritance will not be delivered to you beyond your level of growth. Your inheritance will not be delivered to you beyond your level of growth, Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. And that the lack of right teaching is the primary reason why the body of Christ still has not grown up. The lack of right teaching. Now, I'm declaring that that's over from right now going forward. Say amen to that. So you have to ask yourself, what impact has your church had in society? I mean, what is it? I mean, the average church, I mean, is are they doing some good, or are people glad to see them close? I mean, whatever, you know. And you have to look at that. Now, so what I did is I got into some things. Turn over to Isaiah 55. Let's jump into it real quick. Praise God. Isaiah 55. Let me know when you get to Isaiah 55. If you're there, say praise the Lord. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts. For as rain cometh down and snow from heaven, it returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now, wherever God sends you, he expects you to rule it.
That's right.
Okay? Now remember, you got something under the hood. Come on, speak in tongues. There's something under the hood. He said, you shall receive what? Power after the who has come upon you. The Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be what? Witnesses. Witnesses. You shall demonstrate. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I'm saying you got something under the hood. Now, the tendency is to sit there and try to feel the power. All right, let me just feel the power. No. Come on, get into the fight. Come on, rise up. I told you that time that I was witness to this guy who was kind of out of his mind down there on LaSalle Street, downtown Chicago, and all the people were scattered and so forth because he was kicking at him. He's kind of a homeless guy or whatever. And God spoke to me on the other side of the street. He said, go over there to him. Well, then I thought I was hearing things. I just kept walking. And then next thing I know, God spoke to me again, and I looked behind me, and this guy behind me was on the sidewalk. He was walking behind me looking at me, and the commotion was over there. And I felt convicted. I said, boy, maybe that is the Lord. So I started to cross the street. When I got halfway across that LaSalle Street, which is a very wide street downtown, I got halfway across, something exploded inside. I felt totally invincible. Now you understand Joel chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And it says there'll not be anything like you before you come here. There was not anything like you. And there won't be anything like you after you leave. And if you go on down in that chapter, you'll see you'll fall on a sword and it won't even hurt you. Now, what does he mean by that? That's called divine positioning. That means wherever he sends you, you're protected. Oh, Lord, I better come over here. It means wherever he sends you, you're protected. Now, let me ask you this. Did he send Moses to Pharaoh?
Yes.
Did Moses come in there and tell Pharaoh, let my people go?
Yes.
Did Pharaoh want to let him go?
No.
Did a miracle take place which brought a curse into Egypt?
Yes.
Did Moses tell him to let him go again?
Yes.
Did he let him go?
No.
Then another miracle he pronounced in before. Now, about the third time of that, wouldn't Pharaoh normally have said, hey, arrest him, take that stick out of his hand. Are you following what I'm saying? Why couldn't he have even said that? Because of divine positioning. It couldn't come out of his mouth, not legal in this earth. You better hear what I'm telling you. When they said and sung that song, Jesus, be a fence all around me, every day. Oh, Lord, have mercy, make me want to shout. You know, folks that don't shout, they do become kind of emotional. This is what they do. Oh. That's all right, praise the Lord. We all got our own way, hallelujah. Some folk, you know, they go to bucket. Okay, so something exploded. And I felt absolutely invincible. Got over there, the devil knew I was behind this man, and he whirled this man around. That man jumped around, looked at me just like that. All them people looking at me and looking at him and so forth. And I got closer and closer. As I got closer and closer, the devil in him saw the Jesus in me, and his shoulders began to shrink. And I got up, and big man put my arm on his shoulder and said, what's your problem? I stole my cigarette. I said, hey, listen, come on down here. Pray for the man, so forth. Now, all them people looking.
Yes.
Because they're all waiting for the manifestation of the Son of God. They're all waiting for it. They don't know what they're waiting for, but they're waiting for you. But now you're waiting to feel something. Come on now. You got something under the hood. Come on, let's pray in tongue again. It's something under there. Hey, amen. You ready to run a race. Okay. So, now, this, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and because of it, my ways aren't your ways. See, it starts with the thinking. The Bible says in Proverbs 30, that when you have a wrong thought, put your hand in your mouth. Why? Because that's the next thing that's going to come out. But the enemy comes in at your thought level. Amen.
Amen.
So now, here we are, we're operating at that level. So the enemy comes in and he affects the mind. The Bible says, cast down every thought and imagination, every hot thing that exalts itself against the Word of God. So you got to know the Word of God. Got to know something about it. So what happened? Somebody calls me and want to interview me based on one of the books I've written. And they want to go through an interview. I say, okay. We started off real nicely. I understand, live interview, live radio broadcast. I'm on the telephone. Hi, Vin. Oh, great, great, great. So forth and so on. Then we started and asked a few questions, chit-chat, talk about the book and so forth. And then they said something. They said, yeah, and I was talking to him, and I told him, we all got to get sick sometime. I got quiet. Now, why was I quiet? Because I'm listening how to do this. Got what I'm saying? Because this is her show, and I won't take any credibility here. So I got to get wisdom here. Because she just said something that made my spirit go tilt. Now watch this. I didn't ask you what you thought about it. I asked you what the Word said about it. Because I'm going somewhere. Now let me show you where I'm going first. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Jesus be a fan. Dun, 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 Jesus. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, every day. You got to put all the syllables in there. Every. Okay. What did I tell you? Deuteronomy chapter 11. Look what it says here. Watch this. This is coming out of verse 18. Deuteronomy 11, 18. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Now this is God's instructions to his people. And you shall teach them to your children. Teach what? You got to say it louder like that, louder than that, the word. Speaking of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I mean, you see my son David up here, but I remember times that I had Bible study with him every day, Monday through Friday, before he go to school. And let me tell you, that's since he was a little bitty boy. And every day. And every normal day, And I remember times he'd be late coming in there because he got to go to school. And he comes in there, 15-minute Bible study before he go to school, and come in there. And this was supposed to fake me out. Oh, Dad. I said, shut up and sit down and open the Bible, son. We're training for rain. But look how it turned out. Now, my point to you is that's what it said do.
That's right. It's a word, yes.
That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying we just do the book.
Yes.
Now, let's just look again here and just see where God wants to take us. Now, it's not too late, and that's why they were telling you just a while ago that it's not too late to redeem. Because there's a scripture in Ephesians said you can redeem the time. See, you can reset the clock. You can take time forward and backward through faith, because time was a created element. Glory to God. Look what it says here, verse 20. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thy house and upon thy gates, that your days may be what? Multiplied. And the days of your who? Children. In the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of, come on, heaven upon the earth. So where is he taking you? He's taking you to have a life of heaven upon this earth. Say amen to that.
Amen.
This is where he's going. He's going to make it so that, is there peace in heaven?
Yes.
There'll be peace with you. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Is there joy in heaven?
Yes.
There's going to be joy with you. No more down days. Say it.
No more down days
for me. I don't care. I don't care what's happening around me. Stock market going up and down. Afghanistan going up and down. How do you feel, Bill Winston? Just great. How about you? Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. So, this question here, everybody got to get sick sometime. I said, oh, okay. I said, now, what happened is I went over to Psalm 91. Come on, somebody. I said, I just happen to have a Bible here. You know how you lick your finger? I just happen to have a Bible here. And I just saw here in Psalm 91 in verse 7, it said, and 1,000 shall fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. Only with my eyes shall I behold to see the reward of the wicked, because I have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my what? Habitation. There shall what? There shall what? There shall what? Befall me, neither shall come nigh my dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over me, and they gonna keep me in all my way. Now say this with me.
I'll never be sick.
Another day in my life. Pastor, I feel sick right now. I didn't ask you how you feel. Say it with me again. I'll never be sick another day. You got what I'm saying? Now just stay with me now, because see, people will say this is kind of radical. Wait a minute. It only seems like that because I'm not operating in earth anymore. I'm operating on heaven's level. Say amen to that. Now, as we do this, and I'm really got to save time because we got to get out of here for India. Okay, now, so let's go now to, now Jesus said, pray thy kingdom come, thy what?
Will
be done where?
On
earth, keep going, as it is in heaven. All right. Now, I just got in my notes here, potential, and remember, Daniel and them were 10 times better. You remember that? Okay. And remember, will fire burn you?
No.
Wait. I ain't looking for faith. I'm not trying to. You know, y'all get so high up in faith, boy. Okay, normally fire burns. Am I right? Y'all ready to go? Y'all ready to do something? Y'all ready to chew some nails, boy? Okay, normally will. But notice when Nebuchadnezzar was about to throw him in the fire. Are you with me? And notice what they said. That the God that we serve. No, let's go over there. Let's go over there, because religion has done something with that. Come on, let's go over there, please. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Mm-hmm. All right, Daniel chapter 3. Now, this is when, of course, they had made a law for everybody to bow when they heard the music and so forth. But the three Hebrews refused to bow. And look what it says here, verse 16. I'll start Daniel 3:16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, the God whom we serve is able to do what to us? Deliver us from what? The burning, fiery furnace, and he will what? Deliver us out of thy hand. Okay, now everybody know God is able, but what they don't know is if God will. You got what I'm saying? All right. So, look at the next verse, and this is where religion has twisted it. But if not what? Be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image. Wait a minute. If not. If you look at some translations, these are man's translations now. They're talking about if we don't survive. That ain't what he's saying. If he said that, why the rest of the verse? If you throw us in there and we don't survive, we don't have to be concerned about whether we're going to worship the image or not. Genetically altered scripture. What was it designed to do? It's designed to let you think that sometimes God may show up and sometimes he won't. It's designed to build your distrust in God, and the word that is used in Numbers chapter 11 is to despise the Lord, to treat him with contempt, to treat him lower than he lower than he's supposed to be. He's the one. Did he deliver them?
Yes.
Watch this. Did they go in the fire?
Yes.
See? Sometimes we think we're not going in there. Man, I know God's going to save me. He ain't going in that fire. Now, you might go in it. Because in it, there was a witness to Nebuchadnezzar that your God is bigger than his God. Okay, now some people can't stand this because it's truth. And the thing I'm saying is there are forces, and this is where the lady I acted on the telephone. Boy, I'm telling you, it was a classic. I said what I had to say. I went to Psalm 91, then I went to another scripture, then I went to another scripture. You know, I just wrapped three pieces of dynamite together. And she said this. Now, she forgot she was on that live broadcast. I knew it. I knew I shouldn't have listened to those people. I knew it didn't. I knew that thing didn't bear witness with it. I'm just saying, you hang around these relatives. You hang around so forth and so on. They don't know what you know. Don't allow that to come into your heart, contaminate your spirit. You start compromising because you don't want to insult them. Listen, God holds you responsible for the truth, and you'll know that truth, and not only will you be set free, but they'll see a demonstration of it in your life, and it'll be a witness to them, and they want to know who your God is. I don't care whether they're selling dope, I don't care whether they're prostituting or CEO of the largest corporation. You demonstrate that, and it'll build a platform for them for sufficient for your credibility about God. And they're going to want to know who he is. Folks, when I did was in IBM and worked this thing, and here I was booking all that business, and they couldn't get a dime worth of business, and I'm booking all the business computers for the whole office and so forth, and I'm booking so much, booking enough for me, Bill, for Leo, for all the other sales managers. After that, they want to take me out to dinner. They want to know what up here. What is it that you got hope? I'm telling you, people want to know. You do it the first time you thought it was lucky. But Lord, you work it another time. I'm telling you, when those months were thin, Bill Winston's pockets were fat. And listen, everybody that worked for me. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on the word, because the word will not return void. The word will accomplish it. The word will do it. The problem is when we start trying to do it, you don't need to start trying to do it. Say amen to that. When God says wealth and riches shall be in your house, that is, listen, that's the word of God. I'm a single mother with five kids. I don't care. His covenant is on the line, and he cannot lie. When he said wealth is going to be in your house, he didn't say you had a college degree. He didn't say you were this color or that race. He said wealth in man, let's stop trying to make excuses. And I told you one when I was teaching on faith, stop trying to bring the word of God down to a level where a God can maybe do it. You put it out there. If it's a seven-bedroom home, he put in your heart, believe for a seven-bedroom home. Say amen to that. And listen here, you're going to always have some haters out there that going to hate you. When look at what they've done to me. How they hated me for doing good. I'm winning, getting all these souls won, and they're going to hate me for it? Man, that can't be nothing but the devil. You're going to let them have to just hate. I am tired of making excuses for people, you know, trying to get along with them. That they just keep pulling me down. Pretty soon I ain't got enough power to go to town. And I got to get rid of that. I'm shaking off all parasites, all leeches. Don't make me preach this up in here. Woo. All right, let me finish this. Bloodsuckers. They're just sucking the life out of people who God is using to do something with. Hey, get your own boat. And I'm telling you, I got somewhere to go, and I'm looking for a few good men and women. I'm looking for some people who want to say how big God is. Sit down. Let me finish it. Somebody's pulling that out of me here today. All right. Let me go to the last part. Man, I'm looking. Listen. Can I go somewhere with this? I'm looking for the time. The day of his power. I'm talking about Ephesians 1, his mighty power. This is power that has never been seen in the earth before. This is power that if you come in here and you a man and you busy switching, I tell you, there is a power that when you leave out of here, you'll be walking straight. Sit down. All right. Come on. That's it. I got to get it. Man, that time is gone. Okay, turn to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, please. I got to say it like I get it. I'm not making fun of anybody because we love everybody. But come off in here. And that's the last switching you're going to do. The Holy Ghost can take the switch out of your wall. Yes, he can. Nobody touch you. That's what I'm talking about. We're going to have a sweep in the church. It's going to be power. I said mighty power. You look that up in the Greek. That's power that's never been demonstrated in the earth before. It's resurrection power. That's the strongest power there is. that'll bring a man from the grave. That's what I'm talking about. Now, really, not making fun, because I'm not in that business. I'm in the business of saving souls. And everybody that Satan has tried to hold their lives in slavery and in bondage to some kind of perversion or something, here comes a sweep of God through the house. Everybody straighten up. Isn't that wonderful? Everything in this last day is going to align itself with heaven, with the divine order of God. Now, I know some of you might get offended when I said that, but please don't get offended, because I'm for people. Jesus loved people. God so loved the what? World. That's the beauty of it. That's the only way it can flow, is through love. Can't flow through hate and jealousy and racism and all that kind of stuff. Can't flow through that. But this is the church. And people are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Let me just finish this right quick. I ain't apologizing. I ain't backing down. I'm just telling you, I mean, you know my heart. And I love people. All people. Love them. I don't care who they are, what religion they are, doesn't make any difference. All right, let's go. Look at this. Praise God. Well, we took a little shouting break there, Richard, for a minute there. All right. Verse 1. Ooh-wee. I'm going to just give you a little piece of this. I got to go. Look what it says. Joshua chapter 1. Let's start at verse 3. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. From this wilderness, even the Lebanon, even the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I'll not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong now and of good courage. Coming down to verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt do what? Meditate therein, come on, day and night, that thou mayest what? Observe to do according to all that is written therein. Keep going. But then shall thou make thy way what? Prosperous. And then, come on, thou shalt have good success. All right. The way God has of prospering us. Now, prosperity is not necessarily money. You can prosper mentally by having a sound mind. You can prosper physically by having a healthy body. The way God has of prospering us is to prosper our soul first. Let's turn to it. 3 John 2, very quickly, all the way over. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, all the way over by the book of Revelation, is to prosper our souls first. All right, let me know when you get there. 3 John, the epistle of John, 3rd, and it says this, verse 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest what? Prosper. Keep going and be in health. Keep going, even as thy soul prospers. All right. Prosperity of the soul, get this now, is nothing but a revelation of the Word of God. Prosperity of the soul, is nothing but a revelation of the Word of God. All right? So when I first get the Word, I meditate it. Meditate means to mutter, to say softly to yourself. Meditate means to muse or to swallow it, and at times come back, it comes back up, you start saying it again. Meditate has to do with ponder. It means pondering. I'm going to think on it. Think on these things. Meditation. Now, what happens is you meditate the Word of God. In other words, you get a word and you meditate that. I would advise you, don't try to meditate the whole chapter. Okay? Now turn to Genesis chapter 24, please. Come on, I'm almost done. Just give me 3 minutes here. Genesis chapter 24. Are you getting some out of this today? Genesis chapter 24. Let me know when you get there. My goodness. Boy, I'm preaching myself here. Thank you, Lord. Genesis chapter 24. All right. It says in verse 63, and Isaac went out to what? Meditate in the field at the what? Eventide, and he lifted up his eyes, and he saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Now, what am I saying about this? That what you want to do is you want to meditate, and usually you meditate before you eat, not after. That's when meditation is the most effective. Now, also, you can meditate before you go to sleep. It is very effective at that time, too. Now, I'm telling you why some people have not gotten into their inheritance, because inheritance will not be delivered to you beyond your level of growth of the Word of God. That Word has to mature inside of you. And a lot of times we hear the Word, but that's all we do. We don't meditate the Word. Light comes in not when you hear it, but when it enters. Yes. Let me show you now. Now, turn over to Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. I'm just giving you a couple of verses here now. Psalm chapter 119, and go all the way over to verse 130. 130. Let me know when you get there. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Look at verse 130. Have you got it? The entrance of thy word, what does it give you? It gives you what? Light. And also gives what? Understanding to the simple. Now, what you have to do is you have to take the word as it is. Now, in my life, I was down at ORU, down at seminary. And when I was down there, here I was. And here I was, and I was signed up for my courses, went around first week and took my class and everything, and I was overloaded. I said, man, some of these classes, some of these words and redaction, criticism, and so forth, some of the Greek. I said, man, I'm overloaded here. I said, oh, boy, I'm look like I'm setting myself up to fail. So I'm thinking about dropping half the course, so forth and so on. I came home, and the Lord said, what you gonna do about it? I said, what do you mean, what to do about it? He said, why don't you let the Word do the work? I said, oh, okay. I said, what word do I have? He showed me over in Proverbs chapter 10 that the memory of the righteous is blessed. I said, oh, okay. So I began to start meditating that scripture. And once I started meditating that scripture, something started happening. And let me show you what started happening. Turn over to Mark chapter 4, please. Something started happening. Now, understand, you might go into a situation that's too big for you, but God has an answer for you. Look what it says in Mark chapter 4, and look at verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. And so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He doesn't know how. First, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of what? Herself. First the what? Blade. Then the what? Ear. After that, the what? Full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately put it in the sickle now, because the harvest has come. You got it? So when I started meditating that, all of a sudden my wife came to me and she said to me, sweetheart, I heard something. I was in prayer and the Lord told me to tell you, if you'll pray 3 hours a day, she verified it last service, 3 hours a day, you can make whatever grade you want to make. I said, did he say that? How many of you know sometimes that your wife sounds just like the Lord? I said, did he say that? She said, yeah. I said, boy, that sounds like God to me. So I began to do that. Now, once I began to do that, I'm still meditating my scripture now. The memory of the righteous is blessed. Now, Proverbs chapter 6 is taken over. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6. I'm walking you through this like a Philadelphia lawyer. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. This is training for reigning now. Have you got Proverbs chapter 6? Verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandments. What is another word for commandment?
Word.
And forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about your neck. When you go, it shall lead you. When you sleep, it shall keep you. Now, when you wake up, it's going to talk with you. So I woke up, and the Spirit of God in prayer, I just got in prayer, and the Spirit of God said, decree what you want. Now, that comes out of Job chapter 22. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established. So notice where I went. I went from meditation first. Now I'm getting an indication that somebody's hearing me because my wife said she got a word. So that word that she got is not the full corn, the mature thing, but it's an indication that it's working. So sometimes what happens is God gives you that because that's a prop for your faith. Yes. So I'm believing for our airplane and I got a prop for it. Take it, Brother Steve, put it up on the thing up there. Can you put it up there by yourself? Praise the Lord, you big guy. Amen, you move anything. And that's a good-sized boy. And so, I'm just saying, somebody sent me a jet.
All right.
Come on, help me now. These are called faith props. You might get it out of a magazine, blow it up, put it on your wall. Thank God for it. All right, I'm just propping up your faith now. I'm making it so something is coming out. And though then, after I did that, first the blade, then the ear, now the full cord's coming. And so first you got meditation, then you have visualization, then you have actualization, where you got to act and do something, then you have manifestation. So what happened? I got it. My grades came. Some people were over at the house. I went in the bedroom by myself, opened it up to see what it said. But what did I decree? I decreed 4 A's and 3 B's. See, I didn't want to work God too hard. I gave him some slack. 3 B's. What do you think that paper said?
4 A's and 3 B's.
Because meditation is a law. It is a law. It'll produce for you every time. Now, this is a piece that I think in training that the church has missed. Because they've taken the word just as it is. And they've gone home, written notes and so forth, and didn't look at them notes anymore till 2013. You know what I mean? Are you following what I'm saying? Don't look at those notes anymore. Don't try to meditate the whole chapter. Just get one verse. What brought that in? My same one that brought the first one in. A bird of the air shall carry my voice. That was brought to me as a seed from a man from Africa who stood up in the pulpit one Wednesday night, and as he was preaching, backed off and said, Pastor, your airplane is in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and went back to preaching. Well, somebody that doesn't understand how the kingdom works would thought he was just making fun. I began to read Ecclesiastes chapter 10. I read it once, didn't see my airplane. Read it again, didn't see it. Read it again, didn't see it. But soon the eyes of my understanding. Yes. Got it? And there it was. And it's been producing ever since. Can I ask you, did you get something out of the Word of God? All right, before you leave, now we got a couple of things we want to do. We want to do communion real quick, so I'm asking everybody to stay here so we can do communion. But it's not going to take but a few minutes now because I've got to go myself. But before we do anything, you're here. God has spoken to your heart, and you know that you need to be born again. You need to get in on this. Whoever you are, wherever you're seated, doesn't make any difference. Get up out of your chair. Come up here. Stand with me right now. Let me say a quick prayer for you, and let's get this thing done in your life. Come on, whoever that is, come on down. Come on, stand to your feet. Get on.